And we have no words for what is happening. Give us words. When we have no wisdom for what is happening, grant us wisdom. And when our compassion fails, grant us, above all, compassion. Amen. So, over this past week, like pastors around the world, I spent a lot of time wondering how to address what happened in Orlando last Sunday, or Saturday night. The deliberate murder of 50 people in a gay nightclub just because they were gay or lesbian or trans or queer or associated with such people. And on the one hand, this story takes place thousands of miles away, and on the other hand, this terrible thing happens too close. Too close. Like many of us, I've lost someone I loved dearly because he was gay, pushed out of his family, pushed out of the United Church that he'd grown up in, pushed out of the familiar and the hopeful, he took his own life. That was a few years ago. But last year, at a United Church gathering, a colleague demanded to know why many of us didn't at least read a magazine that had included anti-gay articles. And I stood up and pointed out that every time I did that, I had to live through the trauma of loss again. And having shared my grief and my emotion, that colleague told me my grief was misplaced. After all, he was just homosexual. She told me some of the bad things gay people had said to her to illustrate what she meant. Now remember, none of those things that gay people had said to her included, "You are better off dead." There was no compassion there. For my cousin, for me. But what there was self-righteousness costumed in Christianity. And so it's important as Christians that we approach this story as Christians. And as Christians, we must also listen to the warnings that to deal with the problems that led to this level of hatred and violence, we need to do more than send our thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers are good if they lead to action. Action without thought will be hasty and may be worse than ineffective. Thought without action leaves the world the same. Prayer that does not lead to action is a one-way conversation. But action without prayer can leave us dependent only on our own wisdom, when greater wisdom is needed. The shooting in Orlando is far from a simple story. It isn't just one lone terrorist against Americans, because the shooter was American. He grew up there. And he wasn't just a religious fanatic. He was gay. He'd been to the nightclub before, often. His father has been outspoken about the fact that God punishes gay people. He grew up in an American culture that hates gay people and Muslims, but loves guns. He grew up in a country where Kinder eggs are banned because they're dangerous to children, and Walmart sells children's guns in the weapons sections. Wait, what? That's right. Kinder eggs are too dangerous, but children are given guns. So far this year, 28 Americans have been shot by toddlers. Wait. Last week, I talked about a speaker I'd been to hear who talked about the research that's been done on problem solving that shows that when a group gets together to solve problems, diversity is as important as ability. And as I was putting this together, I was angry and distressed and confused. How do we go beyond thoughts and prayers? How do we respond not just in the moment, but in a coherent way? But my thoughts were far from coherent. And then someone sent me a copy of a speech given recently by Dean James Ryan to the Harvard Graduate School of Education. It wasn't about this most recent attack at all. It's about the way we approach life, a way to approach problems that enriches lives rather than narrowing lives. And so I'd like to share some of those ideas that James Ryan shared with the graduating class of the Graduate School of Education. Dean Ryan calls these the five essential questions of life. And the first question is the one you most often hear as, wait, what? You know, when you're listening to your children tell you the reasons they need something, and your mind is drifting, and then they say, my teacher says I need 24 cupcakes for tomorrow. Wait, what? How many? Or you're listening to the car radio and catch the last part of a politician saying that your Richmond townhouse is now worth more than $500,000. Wait, what? Dean Ryan says this is actually one of the best questions in the world. First, because of the wait part. You have to slow down to consider what's actually happening, what is actually being said, and then the what. What is actually happening? And what can be replaced sometimes with why? Wait, why? This is, says Ryan, a really good way of getting clarification. Wait, what? Is the first step to real understanding. It's the question you should ask before drawing conclusions or making decisions. It is, as he says, the importance of inquiry over advocacy. It's important to understand an idea before you advocate for or against it. Remember that the next time you see something asking for you to take action on Facebook, telling you something terrible and stupid, the writer says is happening, that may not be. Wait, what? If you've listened to the Bible readings on Sunday mornings, sometimes you genuinely should be asking, wait, what? He did what? Who said what? The second question is, I wonder. I wonder why. Or, I wonder if. It's the way to remain curious about the world. I wonder why. And I wonder if is a way to start thinking about how you might improve the world. The organization Philosophy for Children, sometimes called P4C, tries to teach teachers to teach critical thinking. And they say, I wonder is the first question at the heart of all critical thinking. The third question is, couldn't we at least? Dean Ryan says this is the question that helps us get unstuck, to get past disagreement. For example, couldn't we at least agree that we believe children need to feel safe to learn most effectively? Couldn't we at least agree that as Christians we believe in the love and compassion of Christ? Couldn't we at least agree as Canadians that education is the cornerstone of a compassionate society? And secondly, it's a way to get started, even when you aren't sure where you will finish. Couldn't we at least be sure that kids come to school and are safe when they're there? Couldn't we at least improve access to English classes so adults aren't left in poverty and children can see a future? Couldn't we at least work on one project together? And the next question is, how can I help? How can I help is one of the great human questions. But beware of asking it only of yourself. Beware of the savior complex, that you are the expert and the only one, and you have the answer. There is great danger in thinking we have the answer. Dean Ryan says this, we should not let our concern about that, however, extinguish one of the most humane instincts there is, the instinct to lend a hand. But how we help matters as much as whether we help. Asking, how can I help, means you ask with humility, recognizing that other people are the experts in their own lives. And if you remember one thing from this talk, remember that. Others are the experts in their own lives. I spent another embarrassing lunch listening to a white male minister describe how a black colleague of ours was wrong about his own lived experience and how the death of his brother at the hands of racists, right in front of him when he was only 14, really wasn't so bad that it should have affected the rest of his life. Most of us in this room have had someone belittle our own experience or think they know better than we do and what will solve the problem. Saying this is how we will help is at the root of the scandal of residential schools, rather than asking, how can we help, which would have led to an entirely different history and present in human relations in this country. And the last question. What really matters? Or you can add, to me, or to us. It gets at the heart of things. In the midst of what is happening and the anger and the grief, what really matters? And you usually can't answer that question well if you haven't answered the first four questions. Asking what really matters can focus your attention and your action. You can do something, light a candle, stop for a moment of silence, demand action on terrorism. But if you haven't asked those other questions first, what really matters is likely to be unclear and confused. And we can descend into despair at our inability to act in wisdom. And asking to me or to us, remember that in asking how can I help, we hope we have grasped the essentials of what matters to someone else who's hurting. But asking to me allows us to remember we can't do it all. And doing little bits of things all over that are not our strength or our call leaves us scattered and ineffective. So, first, wait what? Is at the root of all understanding. I wonder is at the heart of all curiosity. Couldn't we at least is the start of all progress. How can I help is at the heart of all good relationships. And what really matters gets you to the heart of life. That was a quote directly from Dean Ryan, because that's the heart of what he's saying. If you ask those questions every day, in every problem, you may be able to answer what Ryan calls the bonus question, which he quotes from a poem by Raymond Carver. And did you get what you wanted out of life, even so? Because there's always an even so. Even because I didn't have as much money as I wanted. Even because I didn't do all of those things. Even though I didn't always have the answer. We are faced with a world of problems that begin with a lack of compassion, continue through a lack of reflection, are exacerbated and made worse by lack of education and critical thinking, and raised to almost demonic levels by greed, self-aggrandizement, mistaken self-righteousness, and outright selfishness. And here is where we need to answer those questions as Christians, for Jesus began in compassion. And if you read the Gospels again, you'll find that he asked all of those questions in different forms, almost always answering a question with a question, demanding self-reflection and critical thinking on the part of the ones who were asking the questions. When you come to the last question, what really matters? What really matters to you today? Having first asked the other questions, then we can do more than just think and pray. With both thought and prayer, we can take actions that will have meaningful consequences in the world. Never without God's wisdom, never without God's compassion, never without remembering that others are the experts in their own lives. And ultimately, we hope we will be able to answer, yes, I did, to the bonus question. And did you get what you wanted out of life? Even so. So with many thanks to Dean Ryan, whose wise words were the foundation of this sermon, I ask your thoughts and prayers, and I invite your deep and profound questioning on the ways you will act in the world. May it be so. Amen.